welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'm going to ask Nopis to come forward. He's got a testimony he's going to share with us this morning. Please do come up so that everyone can see you. You're not the shortest guy around, but nevertheless.
Thanks. Morning, everyone. I think the Lord is so glad today that I can share my testimony that He sent the rain today. And just before I want to share my testimony, I just want to say a prayer quickly for us before I say my testimony. Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity that you've granted for me to share my testimony. And I ask of you, Holy Spirit, that you will open the hearts of the people and they may leave change outside if they leave the building, Lord. And I just want to glorify and let this testimony of mine, Lord, that it glorify your name, Lord, and only for you. And we thank you for the work that you are doing and for everything that you are doing, Lord. Amen. Well, people, I grew up in an Afrikaans-speaking house, and after I've written matric, I went to university. And I remember my first year arriving at university, I struggled a lot with my academics. I failed a lot of my academical tests, and I used to go to a traditional Afrikaans church, me and my family. And I remember the one day, one of my mates invited me to go to come to him with church, and I went with him, and it was the first time that I went to a charismatical church. And I thought it was the wrongest thing that there is in life to go to a charismatical church. I remember, my mindset was so, we called a charismatical church a happy clappy kerk. And, but I was so glad that I went. And I remember the day the pastor preached about intimacy relationship with the Lord. And I knew that I didn't have one. And I remember at the end of the service that he asked the people that if they want to have a relationship with the Lord, that he will pray for them. And I said, yes, I do want a relationship with the Lord. And I stuck up my hand, and he asked then, what happened then, he asked the people to come to the front. And I didn't want to go. I was very shy. I thought, what will my friends think about me? And what will the people think about me? And I remember the ushers of the church came and got me out of my seat. And I was very sure I was walking with my head down. And I also in an aisle, just like this church. And that was the first time the Lord have ever spoken to me. And he told me that, Nopi, like you are walking down this aisle, so you will be walking one day into heaven. And I remember giving my life to the Lord that day. I couldn't remember what was the date. It was in 2005. And the next Sunday, when I wanted to go back to the traditional church, I remember walking out of my hostel, and a couple of meters just outside my hostel, the Lord just put something in my heart, as if my heart dragged me back, if I can't walk further. And when I look back at the hostel, the mate that invited me to church came out of the hostel, and I asked him if I can come with him again, and he said, it's fine, and I went with him again, and I started enjoying the church, and I started enjoying the church and the services and the praise and worship and everything. And in 2006, I got baptized and I received the speaking tongues. And I was very blessed. I was very blessed in my academics. As if the Lord clicked my brain that I can understand the work, the maths, the science, the biochemistry, everything. And I've passed my subject and I was very blessed in my sport. It was a great time in my life when I was in university. And then I started farming. After my studies, I started farming on our farm. Our farm is situated between Craddock and Queenstown in the Eastern Cape. And I started farming, and we were very blessed. And I remember in 2010, we had a drought. And I prayed to the Lord, and I asked him that he will show me where's water on the farm. Because even the boreholes got so dry that there isn't any water. And I prayed, and couple of days passed, and I had a dream one night. I dreamt about a bore machine that came to the farm who was busy drilling in the soil. And I woke up the morning, and I thought it was just a dream. A couple of weeks went past, and I had the same dream again. couple of weeks, and I told my dad, who was farming with me, I had these two dreams, exactly the same dream, and that I wanted to boer. And he wasn't too keen. It's very expensive. I don't know how much it costs to boer, but I remember he told me that if we want to boer, if there is water, that he will pay for the boer, but if there's not water, that I needed to pay, in which I didn't have the finances. And I remember in the middle of the winter, a boer machine came to our district, and we got them, and I told the guy that he must come and boer, and I showed him the spot where I had the dream, and he started drilling, and about 10 meters nothing, and 20 meters nothing, and 30 meters nothing, and 40 meters nothing, and then I started to worry because it's getting quite deep, and the expenses is going up, and suddenly on 50 meters, it struck a vein underneath the earth, and the water just burst out of the earth like I've never seen it before. The boom machine is a big truck with, I don't know, pipes and everything that's going up, and the water just burst right through it, just over the boom machine, everything. I couldn't believe it. My dad was standing next to me. He couldn't believe it. And still today, that boerel is the strongest boerel on the farm, and it just seemed that nothing can go wrong with me. I'm so blessed. We have the water. I remember in 2010, I prayed for 6 months, 20 times a day, for the Lord to send me a wife. And I remember at the end of 2010, I met my wife, and things were just going very, very good. And in 2011, I went the one night out to hunt, and there were a couple of kudus that was grazing on the Lucerne land, and I shot a kudu. And as I drove to the kudu, I saw another vehicle on the farm, and I thought it was thieves on the farm that wanted to come and steal sheep or stock or something. And I took my firearm and I put it in the bucket, and I drove to the vehicle, and as I came to the vehicle, I saw on the vehicle's door, they stand Province of the Eastern Cape, Department of Agriculture and Fisheries, and the guys from Nature Reserve got out of the vehicle, and it's illegal to hunt without a permit, or you need a permit to hunt and a permit to hunt in the evening. And I knew it was wrong, but I thought they will never get on our farm, that our farm is in the middle of nowhere. And the guys asked me then, do I have a permit? Do I have a license to hunt? And I told them no, and they asked me the rifle if it's mine. And I said, no, it's my dad's rifle, it's not mine. And they arrested me then and took the rifle and the bucket, and I was a bit offended with the Lord. I said, Lord, but how can you allow this in my life? Every month I tithe, and why can't you just prevent this from happening in my life? And I was a bit offended with the Lord for about a week, and after a week I knew I needed the Lord. And I started praying and asking the Lord to help me, and went on Christmas and 2012, last year. That happened in 2011. July in 2012, last year in January, I worked on the farm, and my phone rang in my pocket, and it was the police officer asking me if I can come into town, to the police station. And I got into my buggy and I drove, and as I came to the police station, there were about 7 or 8 police people waiting for me there, and we went into a room and sat next to a table, and they asked me, do I know why I'm here? I told them no, I just received a call that I have to come in, and they said that my neighbor laid 2 cases of stock theft against me, which I did not done. And I told them, it's impossible. And they said, well, it is so. They need to take my fingerprints. I have to be in court the next day. And when that happened, I remember also the first time when the police took my fingerprints, people, it was like a filthiness or a dirtiness that came over my body. And when that happened again, I told the Lord, but how can he allow this in my life? I mean, I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to be the best that I can be. And how can he allow this in my life? And people, if you ever, I don't know, if you ever find yourself in court, there's no plan B. There's nothing, there's no one to bribe. It doesn't matter how much, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, or what vehicle you drive, or what brand of clothes you wear. If you are in trouble, you're in trouble. And I told the Lord that if this is the life of a Christian, then I don't want to be a Christian. Not even my enemies deserve the way that I'm feeling. And I took my Bible and I packed it away and I said, I'll sort my problems out myself. And I remembered, I told the Lord that I want to teach my neighbors a lesson that they will learn. And I remember packing my Bible away, and just a couple of days after that, I got very, very bad depression. And I don't know if any one of you here today had depression, but it's something that holds you on your collar and on your back, and it's pushing you like this into the ground, and you can't get up. You can't even think straight. It's like you're in a hole. And I remember I couldn't sleep in the evenings. I had to drink a lot of alcohol just to help me sleep, take a lot of pills. And I'm not saying it because I'm proud of it, people. I just wanted to satisfaction. And it was never to satisfy. It never satisfied me. When I drank and smoked, it never satisfied me. Eh? And I remember I lost a lot of weight. I had this brick inside of my stomach. The food that I ate, I brought it up, and it was just going worse and worse and worse. And I remember the one night I was lying in my bed in my drunkenness, and I had a dream again about the Lord. I was standing in front of a big hole, and I was standing on the edge, and there was only rocks and stones around this big hole. And I was standing and looking into the darkness, and I heard the Lord's voice, and He told me just to turn around. And as I turned around, a couple of meters from the big hole was this green grass and a tree that bear fruit and birds that made nests. And next to the tree was a river stream with fish in it. And I heard the Lord's voice to tell me, He told me that, Nopi, you have a choice in life. You're either going to die or you're either going to live. But if you choose to live, then you need to take me back into your life. And I woke up and soberly, and I said, Lord, please help me. I can't even help myself. I can't even go to the bathroom. And I had this depression, and I know in my kudu case, I'm guilty. They have the firearm, they have the kudu, they have everything. And it takes about a year for a court case to let a trial get started. And I remember August last year, the trial of my kudu case came up, and I was very scared. I said to the Lord, Lord, you know, I am guilty, and if you want me to have a criminal record, then I'll do it. And I remember I prayed for about 20 times a day for 2 weeks before the court case, just for the Lord to let it pass me so that I don't need to be found guilty and to have a record for the rest of my life. And I remember I got a lawyer from Port Elizabeth, and he came up to our farm. The court case was on a Monday. He came to the farm on Sunday, and he told me also that he doesn't know how the outcome of this court case will be. They have all the evidence, and he can't tell me. He said he just hoped for the best. And I remember the next morning when we drove to the court, and when we entered the court, my lawyer knew the prosecutor, the state prosecutor that needs to accuse me in court. And I saw them, they were busy talking, and the conversation got seriously and more seriously. And after a while, my lawyer came to me and he said that he settled the case, that they will withdraw the case if I will admit that I will not hunt for 2 years. And I told him, no, it's fine. And the Lord just made a way for me, like, to settle that court case even before the trial could have started. And that I told them that I won't hunt for 2 years and they will withdraw the court case. And I just want to testify of the goodness of the Lord in that whole situation, that He made a way for me. And me and my wife got married in December last year, and she's still final student at Tikkies, and I needed to come up to Pretoria. And I've started in Shofar from the beginning of this year, and I've just been blessed, so much blessed in the church. I've experienced so much warmth, so much love, and so much joy in this church, and I've done the foundation, and it really touched, it really blessed my life this year. And my court case then of the stock theft came up in June, and it delivered nothing. I wasn't too worried about it because I know I haven't done it, but it still was bad for me to sit in the courtroom and in that place where you need to stand, and you hear these people giving these false statements against you. And I think to myself, Lord, but where are you? And it was postponed again to September, now in September holiday, just before the holiday. And I asked a lot of people in church just to pray for me and let the Lord, let there be a breakthrough in the court case. And in the last day of the court case, one of the witnesses testified that he was manipulated to give a false statement, and that what he said is not true. And I just want to testify of what the Lord has been doing, and I know, and the court case was postponed again to January next year. And I know, like I'm standing here, that the Lord will let justice prevail, and he does look after his people. And the one of the hardest things for me was really to learn how to forgive those people, for my neighbor who called the people from Nature Reserve so that they could have caught me, and my other neighbor that gave false statements and manipulated the farm workers so that they also can lie and testify against me. And I really learned on a hard, actually, way to deal with that offense that I had, to really forgive those people. And I do sometimes I do struggle. It catches up with me, but it's much better than what it was. And I know that the Lord will never leave me and he'll never forsake me, and that he will look after me and my wife. And through this whole year, he's just been blessed me so much. I applied for a job in the beginning of the year. I've got a job and a beautiful house, and you know, the Lord has just been so good for me and my wife. And I really want to encourage the people here today. If you think you're going through a difficult time, I'm so glad that these things happened to me in my life. A year and a half ago, I asked the Lord, but why did this happen to my life? But now I'm so glad. It boosted my faith in the Lord so much. And I'm so glad that I was in a cell group, that people that supported me, that prayed for me, people in church here. And I want to tell the people also, it's easy to get offended with the church. It's easy to get offended with people. And there's no such thing as a perfect church. It's how you address it and how you work with it. And I just want to thank also the pastors, Philip and Sean, and all the people that leading this church. Guys are doing really a great job. And today I just want to thank the Lord for his great. He's above the law. He's above our problems. He's above our circumstances. And his arms are not too short to help us, and his ears are not too deaf to hear us. And I just want to thank him and give all the glory and all the honor to him today. Amen.
Amen. Always encouraging to hear good testimonies, eh? And I really want to encourage you, Nopis, that righteousness and justice is the cornerstones of the throne. Yeah? The Lord will have his way in our lives, irrespective of what's happening around us. Great stuff. Always encouraging. Today, people, we're back to the saga, Coach Jesus. Yeah, I see a lot of smiles around here. You're starting to get used to the fact that when I'm on the stage, it's got something to do with the coach and something to do with Jesus. As long as it's got a lot to do with Jesus, that's good. All right. So, reflecting back on the first three chapters, if I can call it that, of Coach Jesus, the following was highlighted to us. And I want to run through that because it's important to understand what the Lord's already been establishing in our lives. And firstly, what came through quite strongly is that true discipleship requires us to engage in meaningful relationships with each other, yeah? Affording us the opportunity to identify and to start valuing the contribution which each and every one of us possess. We spoke about this contribution thing quite a bit, and I'm going to continue speaking about this thing, a contribution. All right? So that's important. Grow in meaningful relationship with each other. Identify and value the contribution that you see in the person's life next to you. Secondly, do we need to learn to value our own contribution? Because if we don't do that, who would? In other words, we need to see the value of what we have to offer. We need to identify it and to focus on that. Because if we don't have the ability to identify and see our own value, how on earth could we expect the person next to us to do that? Yeah? So one in two feeds each other. And three, the last one, which I preached about a month ago, two, 3 weeks ago, somewhere around there, getting old, memory's gone. is that the Lord desires a pure contribution. This is where it became a little bit sticky, all right? Sticky for the reason that God put that contribution inside of us, but yet it's now up to us to ensure that that contribution is not defiled. And that's important, because an undefiled contribution would allow us to utilize it for its intended purpose. This contribution that I've been speaking about has an intended purpose in our lives. So up to now, we've been talking about the identification and the preservation of this contribution for a specific reason. That's where we're going tonight. It's with that statement in mind that tonight we climb into number four. Yeah, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Before we climb into this, I want to take one or two steps back, reflect on some of the events that happened prior to this specific scene. I spoke about this in Coach Jesus 3. Jesus caused quite a bit of havoc on his last trip to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Yeah? We read about it in John 2. We see Jesus lash out a little bit on his visit to the temple to go worship. We see him fashion himself a whip of cords and drive money changers and traders out of the temple. The traders as well as the cattle, overturning tables, throwing out the money. We see a zeal and a passion for his Father's house starting to generate inside of him. Yeah? And at the same time, this religious leaders that are there as well, of which the Pharisees are of them. For those of you that's a little bit unsure what a Pharisee is, it's a religious group. If you ask me, more political group than anything else that existed at that stage founded upon Judaism. There was another group called the Sadducees, and these two, they were at each other's necks. Just a little bit of disagreement about the way they understand the word of God and the statutes of the Lord. But that's not really important right now. But nevertheless, they sort of attack Jesus, and they expect a sign from him for doing what he did in the temple. Chasing them out and overturning the tables, the first thing they say to him is, "Jesus, give us a sign for why you're doing this." And you can see there's a little bit of confrontation here. And I believe that specific occurrence is one of the greatest events that contributed towards the hatred that they had towards Jesus. This was a big contributing factor, because it was at this time when Jesus dropped his "you destroy this temple, in 3 days I will build it up" statement. We know that caused quite a debacle. It was seen as blasphemy in their eyes. On the one hand, they had no clue what Jesus was talking about, but it set a nice scene for a good old-fashioned fight. Yeah? Irrespective of that, Jesus continued his ministry in Jerusalem. And the scriptures tell us that many people believed in him as a result of the signs that they seen him do, the signs and the wonders. Jesus went around healing, eventually raising dead, speaking truth. A whole lot of signs and wonders, a lot of good things that they could see Jesus do, physically do, or outflow in the natural. And they said that people believed him in as a result of this. But it says that Jesus could not commit himself to these people, because ultimately he knew what sat in their hearts. He knew that they acknowledged him as just a good roadshow, if I can call him that. Someone that can do good things, perform nice things. Entertainment, if you ask me. They didn't acknowledge him for who he really was, which was the Messiah. Not too long thereafter, here comes a guy with a ridiculous name, Nicodemus, quite a popular name back then, I believe. And Nicodemus approaches Jesus with exactly the same thing. Shows respect towards him, addresses him formally, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God because of the signs that we see you do." He says that one can't do the signs unless God is with him. See the intent with which Nicodemus approaches Jesus? No different to anyone else. that was engaging with him in Jerusalem. And with all the respect that Nicodemus approaches Jesus with, I love the answer Jesus gives him. Jesus gives him such a gentle rebuke. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus comes, I believe, with, I don't want to say a sincere heart because I don't believe it was very sincere, but he wants to engage Jesus and acknowledge Jesus to be something of worth, right? A rabbi, a teacher come from God. And right there, foot in the door, Jesus stops him. The reason for that is, I suppose Nicodemus approached Jesus no differently to anyone else. Not acknowledging Jesus for who he is. Wants to come and sweet talk Jesus, yeah? Wants to do Christian talk. Wants to do Jesus talk with him. And acknowledge him a little bit. There's a way in which Nicodemus comes to him which says a lot about his heart. It says Nicodemus came to him at night. I believe there's a reason why Nicodemus came at night. Nicodemus approached him secretively when no one else could see him. It says Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus sat on the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. He was quite high up in that Jewish council. He was a man of stature. Yeah? He had a bit of ego. He had a bit of status around the fringes of Jerusalem. Right? I believe a few people knew him for who he was. A rich man, wealthy man, had a lot on offer. How on earth could he be seen speaking to the one that the Sanhedrin despised? He couldn't. It's a little bit of shame to be seen talking to Jesus during the day. Hy glip so daar by die agterdeur in. Dan kom hy nou hier in die aand. Right, I can't acknowledge you in front of people, so let me come through the back door. I'll come acknowledge you at night, yeah? And I'll come entertain you with what I think you are. The first thing he throws out there is the signs thing again. Jesus, what flows out of you is what tells us and testifies of who you are. That is character traits of someone that does not know the Lord at all. Through to Nicodemus. Because one that knows Jesus for who he is, first of all, you'd not be ashamed to stand in front of the Lord and speak to him. Yeah? Because if you've experienced the transforming power of Jesus in your life, then you have the ability to do exactly what Nopis did here. There was no shame on this stage today. People, not at all. I've very seldomly heard him speak, but today he gave us a go. Because he's testifying of the goodness of God. And he's got something to put on display. Not himself, he puts Jesus on display. So someone that has experienced the love of Christ will not be ashamed of him. We don't see that in Nicodemus. One that has experienced the love of Christ would know that the testimony of Jesus Christ is not about the signs and wonders that we see. It's about the signs and wonders that has happened on the inside. That's the power of Christ. I don't need to see things flow out of him in the natural because I know what Jesus means to me and you know what Jesus means to you. That's the power of the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's how we know he's Lord. That's how we know he's majestic. Nicodemus doesn't have this. And in entertaining Nicodemus's feeble attempt for attention, so I love Jesus, gives him what he wants. You want to talk to me? Come, let's talk. Yeah? You want to pass a statement? I'll give you a statement. I'll give you something to think about. Unless you were born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you think Nicodemus had any idea what Jesus was talking about? A few levels above his intellectual ability, yeah? As we go on, we see that, come out, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. I just love the way Jesus operates. Yeah, he's an operator, so we're going to use that word. Because he has someone engaging him in a conversation. He gives him a slight rebuke and a very straight answer. That verse 3, I'm going to put it into layman's terms for you. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you don't have a clue what you're talking about, shut up. That's in today's English, yeah? just trying to jumble up the words a little bit for you. However, Nicodemus doesn't walk away. He's intrigued by Jesus. Something has bitten Nicodemus. It's the Jesus bug. Because when someone says to me, "You don't know what you're talking about, shut up and leave," it's normally when I pack my laptop and I go. Yeah. Yet Nicodemus hangs around because he hears Jesus say something and he's engaged by it. He wants to know more. However, he misunderstands Jesus completely. Right, Jesus speaking about being born again, and all of a sudden Nicodemus is on a trip of childbirth. Yeah? How do I climb into your stomach? I'm old. How do I get born again? He's got no understanding of what's going on. And we need to understand that there's a little bit of a trick here in the scriptures, because the root Greek word for again can serve a dual purpose. Yeah, anothem can mean again or from above. One of the two. So Nicodemus misunderstands Jesus, because Jesus is saying you need to be born from above, yeah? Referring to that spiritual heavenly rebirth, but yet Nicodemus has no frame of reference for that. So he understands it as being born again. He takes it extremely literal. I can only imagine how that must engage you, yeah? Someone that you know has got a lot to offer, because you've been seeing it. You're talking about it. You say he's got a lot to offer. And now all of a sudden, there's trivia. And I can see the two of them going at each other. Nicodemus now wants to know what Jesus is on about. I love that. He's got Nicodemus' attention. Nicodemus, you wanted to talk. Today we're going to talk. I love that. Yeah? Draws Nicodemus, sucks him in vacuum style. Poof, now I got you. And Jesus takes this opportunity to explain the rebirth to Nicodemus. Says to him, yes, you're on about natural birth, but unless you've been born naturally and you've been born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Look, people, it's impossible. Nicodemus still doesn't have a cooking clue what Jesus is talking about, but Jesus is laying a solid foundation in Nicodemus' life. He's sowing seed. He's dropping things for Nicodemus to think about. Now Nicodemus understands, yes, I need to be born, yeah, we understand that. Then I need to be born of the Spirit, yeah. And all that has happened, I can't enter the kingdom of God. And it goes on and says, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And here Jesus, in rightful Jesus fashion, yeah, He speaks in trivia, and I love it. He gives you things to think about, and he uses this analogy of wind blowing, where you can physically feel the wind against you, but you can't see it. It's real for us today. Wind's blowing outside, yeah, causing big, big, big ructions at my house. I might add, every tree on the plot is now in the swimming pool. So me and the wind right now, we're not great friends, yeah. But you can feel it, but you don't know where it's coming from. And you can't see where it's going to. He uses that example to explain exactly how the Holy Spirit works in your life, because that is how the Holy Spirit works. You feel him, but you don't know where he's coming from. We know he comes from upstairs, yeah? But you don't know where he's coming from, and you don't know where it's going to. So it's something that you feel and you experience, but you can't explain. That is what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. That's what's busy going on here. He's engaging Nicodemus. He's getting Nicodemus to think about what's going on here. What I'm holding before you, I need you to use that it can fulfill its intended purpose. It's going to be a night or a morning, sorry, ongewoond, or ochendienste. So night, morning. Do you understand me? I've got a question for you today. How many Nicodemuses passes through your life every single day? I want you to think about that for a few seconds. This is a legit question. I want you to think about that for a few seconds. We can draw an idea of who and what Nicodemus was from the scriptures. My question to you, church, is how many Nicodemuses crosses your path every single day? Now my second question to you, why do you have a contribution? Why do you have something to give? If it wasn't for the rain outside, this would have gotten seriously awkward right now. In the same way Jesus drops things for Nicodemus to think about, I'm not Jesus, but I learned one heck of a good tactic. Give people things to think about. Why do you possess contribution? People, this contribution, this in you for times such as these. Contribution, each and every one of you have and I have, exists for the Nicodemuses of this world. I said to you, as we were working through Coach Jesus, that this contribution is so perfect and it's so pure in the sight of the Lord that He contends for it. He contends for you because He's after your contribution. He put it there. He knows what you have to offer. The Lord contends for you because He loves you. Even today, you are still the vessel that's going to establish His kingdom on this earth. It's the 20th of October. People, the kingdom is still not established. He's waiting for someone. I can promise you, He's not going to come and do it Himself. It has never been His strategy. These tools for establishing the kingdom sitting right here in front of me today. Your contribution exists so that you can engage the inquisitive people that is in your life, in every sphere of influence that you have. There's a Nicodemus. People, there's a Nicodemus everywhere. Something has bitten him. He wants to know more. He is as foolish as they come. He doesn't have a clue what he's after. But he's there. See what Jesus models for us. The ability to utilize your contribution. Now, when I was always going to preach John 3 today, I was not going to give you what I gave you now. I had some other beautifully figured out story. You know, last night at 8 o'clock, the Lord says to me, Sean, I will smack you if you climb up onto this stage and offer that pot of rubbish that you wanted to give this church. You give them the truth about John 3. If you're walking down the road and the road forks, my road forked with the sermon. Fork down the wrong way. Jesus said, you stay on my path. You stay on my path. Because there's something hidden away in this story that we need to understand. The value of your contribution in the world where you are today. Jesus models it so perfectly and so beautifully, and I nearly dropped the ball. I nearly made this nod about that. Thank heavens for the Lord that speaks to us. And while taking all the leaves out of the pool, all I can say is thank heaven, Lord, that your sheep hear your voice. Want anders sou ek vandag aangejaag het. But this contribution is important. We need to understand how to engage people. Because that's what it's all about. Sitting here, you have something unique. You have the knowledge that people are looking for. You know how challenged I was when I seen this picture? I put myself behind my fancy desk at work, my nice sway stool, nice and soft leather chair, lay back. I put myself in that chair again, and I had to ask myself the question, how many times a day does Nicodemus come walking past your office? Ooh, scary when I think about that. The Lord asked me, so what are you busy doing? I was honest with Him. I said, well, I'm busy turning in my chair. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. The Lord challenged me. How many times does Nicodemus come past your office every single day? What are you giving him? I'm a believer. I'm a minister of the gospel. You know what I'm giving them? Zero. I'm giving Nicodemus nothing. You know what the reality of that is? My contribution is worth nothing. Because I'm sitting there all puffed up. So much to give, but not giving a single thing. My eyes opened this morning when the Lord spoke to me. Held my own life before me. Is this not what you meant to be doing? Every single opportunity that you get when someone engages you, you give them Christ. Don't stick your Bible down their throat. Give them Christ. Christ is not a Bible down the throat. That's not Christ. Give them Christ. Give them me. Give them truth. That's what the Lord's challenging me with. Give it to them. Because your contribution exists. First and foremost, for what we're talking about today. Salvation of souls. See why the Lord is so into a pure contribution. See why the Lord contends with us individually and with us as a church about the state in which we maintain our temples. He's not fighting with us to be nasty. He's fighting with us so that we can understand what we have to offer. The ability to establish God's kingdom on this earth sits inside. Each and every one of you sits inside of me. For me, I just need to get up off my dry stool. And I need to make it work. A lot of times, we shy away from this. We're worried about the outcome. I said to you, at the end of chapter 3, do we have any clue what happens to Nicodemus? We don't know. Was Jesus worried about the outcome? No. Sounds harsh when I say that. You know why Jesus was not worried about the outcome? He sowed the seed. He knew that's all he needed to do. A lot of times when I engage people, it's like, ooh, what if you do respond now? It's awkward. We're standing at reception. How do I pray the sinner's prayer with you at reception? Ooh, gaat die mense my aankyk? Ooh, vreselike goed, man. This kingdom building thing is incredible stuff. Overwhelming stuff. And here Jesus is saying, guy, don't you worry about the outcome. You sow the seed. The Holy Spirit will water the seed. For some of us, yes, we get to go the whole 9 yards with him, there and then. For others, that person will walk away from you like Nicodemus did. He walked away. First of all, I ask the question, could Nicodemus be saved? Was Nicodemus saved? We don't hear much of him. A little bit later in the book of John, someone defends Jesus before the Sanhedrin. Guess who that is? Nicodemus. You know, when Jesus speaks about entering the kingdom of God, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about that ability to transition from an earthly kingdom to a godly kingdom through the changing work that exists in him. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's what Jesus is talking about. The ability to transition from flesh to spirit, from world to a heavenly kingdom through what he has to offer us. That's the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus defends Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin. Doesn't work. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies on that cross. His body gets taken off the cross. Who do you think is there when that body gets taken off? Now I leave you with my last question. Was Nicodemus saved? That was Nicodemus standing there when that body came down. Not the only one, but one of them. So when Jesus says to us, establishing the kingdom, entering the kingdom, he speaks about that transition. That's what it's about. People, we don't see the end result in chapter 3. Nicodemus went the whole 9 yards. no one can tell me that something did not change in that man's heart towards Jesus, that he was there the day when that body came off the cross. Where did that stem from? Offering your contribution, being persistent. People in this world are crazy. They want to engage believers in the weirdest of ways. Trivia, conundrums. They want to engage you like that. You know what you do? Give it to them. They want trivia? Give them trivia. They want to be smart? You be smart straight back at them. You give them the truth. That's what Jesus did. Nicodemus couldn't understand him. Jesus didn't care. I will give you the truth. Because later down the line, you're going to understand every single thing that I said to you on the day when I met you. That is putting value to your contribution. And don't ever back down. When someone don't understand you or can't understand you, people, speak their language. Speak their language. Be like a chameleon. Go from red to green. Praat hy manse taal. If you meet a fisherman in Houtbay, talk fishing. Right? You meet a Blue Bull supporter, bless you, but speak rugby. Right? Do whatever you need to do to speak that person's language, but lay the foundation of truth. That's being true to your contribution, and that's being true to Christ. All he wants from us. The kingdom is established on this earth one life at a time, one individual at a time. Jesus does the transforming. We do the hard work. Can I ask you to stand with me tonight? The band to come up, please. Church, the gospel is starting to make sense to me. You know, I've had someone sow into my life in terms of ministry. And this person always said to me, the gospel's easy. I said to him, well, I don't know what church you're in. But it feels a bit difficult for me. The gospel's easy. It really is. When we align all our thoughts and all our actions with what Christ wants from us, the gospel's easy. We can complicate it. To outcroach Jesus, I tried to take the book of John and break it down for you to make it as simple as possible for you to see what Christ wants from us. Today as a church, he puts the tip on the spear for us. We're going to walk a long road with Coach Jesus. The Lord has a lot to offer us. He started stirring a pot and stirring a pot. Today is starting to shape a weapon. Time when us as individuals understand exactly what we're all about. What we're meant to be doing and what's important for Christ. To me, it seems quite easy looking at this sermon now when working through what the Lord said to me, Sean, is a blueprint for discipleship and what I want from this church. To me now, it makes sense that this contribution thing could only go towards one area. I can't believe I thought it could have gone anywhere else. Because Jesus today is still all about the lost. He's still all about saving souls. He's all about his kingdom. That's what it's about. There's going to be many more things we're going to look at through this series. But today I can say to you that this is first and foremost why you possess a contribution. To see lives come to salvation. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes with me tonight. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Father God, we thank you for your desire to see man enter into meaningful relationship with you. Father, we acknowledge that that was always your intention. It is your intention. It will always be your intention, for your heart is for us to be your people and for you to be our God. And Lord, we thank you for every tool that you have offered us to bridge this gap, that we may experience your love, your heart, and your kingdom. And today, Father, we thank you for the greatest gift of all. We thank you for your Son, nailed to that cross, carrying all of our sin, our iniquity, our sickness, our illness, carrying it all so that we can have life. And as verse 16 says, God, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, that you offer us the pathway to everlasting life. Lord Jesus, tonight we glorify you as our Lord and Savior, as our King. We thank you, Lord, that your principles transcend generations. As much as you were laying foundations for the lives of your disciples, then so to now are you laying foundations for each and every one of our lives. So, Lord, I know that we may be what you desire us to be, so that your kingdom may be effective at this time on this earth. And we thank you, Lord, that you remove scales from our eyes, that we may see. We may see you and see your heart. We thank you for hearts that are open, ears that are open, ready to receive and perceive what you are saying to us. Lord, may you bless us. May we find favor in your sight. May we become the nation that you desire us to be. All for the glory of your kingdom. Your mighty name. I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed just for a few more minutes. The Spirit is laying three groups of individuals on my heart this morning. First group, all eyes closed. If there's anyone here today that feels a lot like Nicodemus when he first came to Jesus, something having bit you that you can't explain, making you engage someone that you don't really know. And as much as you try to move away from that, you just don't have that ability, because what has bitten you has bitten you. And that is Jesus Christ. And in the same way that Jesus taught Nicodemus about being reborn today, I want to offer you the same opportunity. The same opportunity to respond to Christ in the only way. I want to offer you the same opportunity to become a custodian of the kingdom of heaven. We want to offer you that opportunity to experience the spiritual rebirth, that you too may transition from a worldly kingdom to a heavenly kingdom. If there's anyone here tonight that wants to experience this spiritual rebirth, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand very quickly. We're not going to dwell on it too long. If you want to experience the spiritual rebirth, that you may experience the transition of kingdoms in your life, today you have the opportunity. For Christ desires to be Christ in your life. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. Anyone like that here today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. As difficult as it is, as hard as it is, it's not easy for anyone. I promise you, it was not easy for Nicodemus either. But there's only one way, and that's through Christ. Secondly, I believe that there's a handful of individuals here tonight, and all eyes are closed. No one's looking at you. This is not between anyone else here today. It's between you and Christ. Only my eyes are open. I believe that there's some individuals here that feels a lot like Nicodemus as well. It was a little bit ashamed to stand in front of Nicodemus in the day because it was the unpopular thing to do. I believe the Lord's saying to you today that He wants to give you the strength to acknowledge Him in every sphere of life, wherever you are. That you do not need to think about Him and discuss Him behind closed doors. He wants to offer you the boldness to do that before many individuals feeling like that. I'm going to ask you to slip up your hands as well. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, I'm going to pray over you today. Are we going to trust the Lord for a spirit of boldness to enter into your life, that you will have the courage and the ability to acknowledge Christ for who He is in front of whoever? For He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can drop your hands for a few minutes. Last group. Individuals struggling with this contribution thing that I'm speaking about. I believe there's another pocket of individuals here today that still believes they have nothing to offer. Today's the day the Lord removes that lies from your life and sets you free. Where He shows you what you have to offer. Any individuals who believe their contribution is worthless, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. The Lord's calling out to us tonight. This is what it's all about, people. No longer will His nation walk around believing that they have nothing to offer this world. Today, the Lord breaks that lie. In our lives and in this church, boldly you can raise your hand. Say to Him, "Yeah, Lord, here I am. Here I am. See me. This is between you and Christ. It's got nothing to do with anyone here today." You raise your hand. Everyone whose hands was up, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands now and say to Christ, "Here I am. You know why my hand is raised. You know what's on my heart. Lord, come and change me. Come and transform me. Offer me the transition from a fleshly world to a heavenly kingdom. You are His greatest prize and He loves you so dearly." Father, we thank You for every raised hand today. Holy Spirit, I thank You for the work that You are doing in each and every life. I thank You, Lord, that today You meet each and every one of us individually. And You fulfill the voids that exist in our lives as we raise our hands. Lord, we cry out to You for transformation. We cry out to You for change. We desire to be Your perfect nation. We acknowledge our faults, but Lord, here we are, reaching out to You, our King. May You finish the work that You have started in us. Glorify You in Your mighty name. All hands down. Amen.
You move mountains when You speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.